Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Poetry Superhighway Live. It's the May 2019 edition of our show. And I'm delighted to be here with you. My name is Rick Looper. I'm the proprietor of the Poetry Superhighway and your host for the next hour of poetry. Open mic, hopefully. I invite you to call in. The number is 646-716-7362. Of course, you can use the direct connect button if you're listening on the Blog Talk Radio page as well. Call in, read a poem, let us know what's going on in your poetry world. Tell us about your latest book, your website, your poetry reading series, anything you've got going on. This is your chance. We do this every month, and we'd love to hear about you, your poetry, and your whole poetry thing. Again, the number is 646-716-7362. It's a rainy day here in Southern California, which is atypical for this time of year. And I read an article recently that says we're going to get something like 2 months of rain because of atmospheric rivers, which honestly, I'm not very excited about. I don't mind rivers. I don't mind the atmosphere. I don't want atmospheric rivers at this point. I'd really much prefer the sun, the heat, going outside and feeling the warmth up against my face and body. It seems like we're not in for that this summer. It seems like it's just going to be atmospheric rivers for a couple of months. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of the funk I'm in right now. But there's some poetry things going on that I'd love to tell you about as we're waiting for our callers to call in again. The number 646-716-7362. We're going to take your calls, put your poems on the air, and in a little bit we're going to hear a spoken word track from Richard Leach as part of our monthly spoken word track segment. More on that later. So you may have seen in the Poetry Superhighway newsletter that we are actively soliciting prizes for our 21st annual poetry contest, which will start this summer. I believe it's going to start in early July. I'm still working on the calendar. But just to be clear, this isn't a call for entries. This is just letting you know that it's coming up. But what we're looking for now is sponsors for our contest. You may be aware of what we do for our contest. You may not, but I'll tell you anyway. Every single year, we've been able to give a prize to every single person who's entered our contest just for entering, thanks to the generosity of many, many sponsors. So if you enter the contest, of course, what's going to happen is your poems are going to get scored by our judges, and then at the end of the contest, someone's going to win, and the winners, the top three scoring poets who are the winners, will divide up all the entry fees they're taking. So they're going to win a nice cash prize, as well as getting published on Poetry Superhighway as the winners, and of course, the bragging rights of saying that they won the contest. But in addition to that, every single prize, every single contest entrant will be receiving a prize just for entering. And we've been able to do this every single year that we've had the contest. This is 21, it could be the 22nd year, actually, now that I think about it. I keep losing track of the number of years these things have been going on. So it's either the 21st or the 22nd. We'll find out and let you know. But many people have been sponsors of this contest in the past, and that has led to, and what they've done is they've pledged to send prizes out to our contest entrants. So if you enter, even if you don't win, you're going to get a poetry book in the mail, or you're going to get a subscription to a magazine, or you're going to get a service which would be of specific interest to you as a poet and writer. There's people who donated things like hours of poetry editing or design of chapbooks or that kind of thing. So right now we're actively looking for sponsors for the contest. So what does that mean? That means that you'll go to our website, poetrysuperhighway.com. You'll click on the sponsor the contest banner. If you don't see it right there at the top, it's under the special projects menu. and you fill out the form there. All the info is there. You're going to agree basically to the terms there. And so however many prizes you donate, whether it's one prize, five prizes, 20 prizes, you have to agree to that you're going to be the person to mail those prizes directly to the contest entrants that we will send to you after the contest is over. You have to agree, to do that within 2 weeks of being notified, which would be roughly in October or so after the contest is over. And I think that's it. There's a couple other things, but all the guidelines are there online. And in exchange for that, you'll get promotional mention in the Poetry Superhighway newsletter. When the contest starts, you'll be listed as a sponsor in the newsletter as well as on the contest page for the duration of the contest. And you'll get a free poetry classified ad, which will appear in our weekly newsletter for the duration of the contest, which is roughly a three-month period of time. And our newsletter goes out to thousands of poets every single week. So it's a really great place to advertise, even if you're not a contest sponsor. A lot of people pay attention to it. And I've heard from many people who've advertised that they get a lot of hits, in particular if you're advertising a contest or a service or a magazine to submit and that kind of thing. So it's a pretty good deal. All you have to do, you can sign up as a sponsor just for donating one thing, or you could donate dozens of things. It's up to you. It goes directly to our contest entrants. It's a not-for-profit contest. We're not taking a cut of the entry fees that'll come in. So you're supporting a good cause, and you're helping to support the mission of Poetry Superhighway, which, of course, is to expose as many people to as many other people's poems as possible. What else can I tell you? Well, you may have also noticed, if you're on the Poetry Superhighway newsletter, that I, Rick Looper, your friendly neighborhood host, put out a book of poetry within the last couple of weeks since we last had Poetry Superhighway Live. My 23rd printed collection of poetry is called Hunka Hunka Howdy, and it's the latest in my collection of travel poems. Every single year, I'm lucky enough to be able to go on a vacation with my wife, and we've gone to all kinds of great places in America and a few other countries as well, and I write a whole book of poetry there, just about the experience of being there, and it's collected every year, and it's published. So the one that just came out, Hunka Hunka Howdy, was written last summer of 2018, when we were visiting the cities of Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, and Louisville, Kentucky. A lot of references to things that you can see in those places, the birth of rock and roll, Elvis, Graceland, Martin Luther King's final steps were taken in Memphis, Tennessee, and we got to visit the National Civil Rights Museum there. So that's covered in the first part of the book. We headed off to Nashville, Tennessee, and there, of course, that's the home of country music, and it's really just a second musical city. We kind of went from the birthplace of rock and roll to the birthplace of country music, or at least the capital of country music, and then many other music, and we spent a lot of time doing cool things there and eating great food and seeing sights and museums and things related to that. And then we drove off to Louisville, Kentucky, where the main attraction, as far as I'm concerned, was the bourbon. We had bourbon all over the place on the way to Kentucky. Got bourbon passports stamped in different locations. Met friends there. And they had a cool site that we went to was the Louisville Slugger Factory, which where they make baseball bats, the famous Louisville Slugger baseball bat. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, is documented in my new book called Hunka Hunka Howdy, which is available right now. You can check out a few sample poems from it on my website at poetrysuperhighway.com. You can pick up a copy for yourself on Amazon, and it exists. And this Thursday, this is kind of a cool thing, special event. I'm doing an online publication party on Facebook Live. It's going to be this Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I guess that's 6 p.m. Central Time, and and 5 p.m. Mountain Time. If you live in a different country, then gosh, I don't know where what the time is, but you'll have to figure that out. 4 p.m. this Thursday Pacific Time, I'll be reading poems from the book live on Facebook. It's a video broadcast. You just go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/rickpoet, and you'll see, you can see the live video there. And I've got some special guests coming on the show. From Memphis, Tennessee, the singer-songwriter Abby Strauss, who is a friend of mine, will be coming on with me and singing a song. She is an extraordinary singer-songwriter and has an amazing voice, and you'll love to hear her. It was kind of an introduction to my poems about Memphis. Before I read poems from Nashville, my friend Ellie Flyer, who lives in Nashville, will be sharing a song that she wrote that is from a new album that she put out. And she is also a wonderful singer-songwriter, and you will enjoy her. And then before I read poems from Kentucky, my friend Cecilia Wallach, who's a poet who I know really from Southern California, but who's based, as far as I can tell, all over the world, will be reading a poem inspired by her experiences in Kentucky. She's from Kentucky. She spent some time there, and she'll be reading a poem to help launch the Kentucky section of my book. So you should tune in for all of that. So it'll be me reading poems from the book, as well as other folks joining me to help celebrate the whole thing, and to kind of launch today's show. I'm going to read a poem for it. I never read a poems in the open reading here on Poetry Super Live, Highway Live, because I like to give the time default to callers. But because I've got this new book out, I thought, what the heck, I'll throw something into the open reading. So this poem is called "The Mississippi Delta is Shining Like a National Guitar." I've never woken up in Memphis before, and already there's a hangover of sorts. I'm going to need the day to flush out Los Angeles. First on the docket is buying a postcard with a picture of ducks on it. Second, breakfast at a place that chases the sun. The amount of humidity is fistfighting with the available oxygen, and we're putting on all the loose clothing. We're detaching our hair from our heads. We've got biscuits in our future. Addie just wants to rock and roll all night, which is a hell of a thing to see this early in the morning. We are going to Graceland. There you go. That's a poem I wrote on the first morning that I woke up in Memphis, Tennessee, when we were getting ready to head to Graceland. I think I wrote that while I was still in bed, before I'd taken a shower, before breakfast. And then we headed off to Graceland. So that's an early poem in my brand new book, Hunka Hunka Howdy. So check it out. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the number for you to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Give us a call. Read a poem.
Slippery Slope, a poem by Angel Ellis. From the anthology, Women Write Resistance. I didn't stop that day. No time, too fast, no place to turn around. But the next day, on that ordinary stretch, something pulled me over. I climbed the slope to see it again. The girl who looked 11, but may have been older, fighting his grip, the thin, furious man. The long arm striking her face. She was still standing, after, my rearview mirror told me. No footprints in the slick grass, no blood, just one glint like a broken bottle. A child's glasses with thick lenses, intact, reflecting that day upside down.
I love the trees in my new land. The naked trunks of the eucalypti. The Himalayan cedar, revered as divine by Hindus. Its lilting branches pose like a dancer's outstretched arms. To feel not uprooted, but transplanted, hoping my dangling roots will dig in and revive my wilting limbs and leaves. I'm an old red pine, trying to feel not uprooted, but transplanted.
That was the poem Trees in My New Land by Daniel Thomas, a spoken word track, which immediately followed the poem Slippery Slope by Angele Ellis, a couple of spoken word tracks that were submitted to us recently here at Poetry Superhighway Live. We've got some more of those on deck for you momentarily. If you'd like to call in and read a poem in our open reading, the number is 646-716-7362. This next track is the poem The Forest is a Cave. I'm sorry, The Highway is a Breeze, The Forest is a Cave by Southern California poet Jerry Garcia.
Forward light dims to cyan opacity. Cypress and ferns act as road markers. Faded medians blotch the interstate. In the rearview mirror, sunset highlights ochre patterns, light poles, branches, and looming headlamps. As if to accentuate the plodding tempo of my escape, a primer gray pickup flashes high beams and scoots into the oncoming lane. The Studebaker Transtar vanishes around a darkened forest curve, leaving swoosh of charcoal dust to unravel like braids of hair. Signage reveals no services for 62 miles. Fuel needle points north. I check my backpack for sustenance. Dense pines are canyon walls, black and creepy. My highlights sway the path with scattered bark. The road's imbalance guides me like my last waltz. Ball tires sway high to the left, low to the right. Radio signal loses to static. Engine torques against my grade. Wheels thump unseen hurdles on the straightaway. Potholes break rhythm like buried thoughts of gloom. Darkness. My vehicle motions through its own misty beam. Cabin dims. Orange dashboard digits glow. Shadows black on drab. Deeper into my forest, I start to understand solitude. Black pushes against windows, green-eyed memories reflect. I absorb into the vinyl glass travel vortex. Raven-haired dreams persist. I look for a focal point, trying to make out any horizon through shallow field of vision in the foggy glow of unkempt asphalt. My pedal pressure continues steady on the floorboard.
Ellen Sander in Belfast, Maine, reading my poem, A Snowball That Ticks, which is published in the winter 2019 edition of Cafe Review out of Portland, Maine. A snowball that picks up everything in its path, picks up the affair you thought you got away with, the umbrella on the bus, the wrapper you dropped behind your back on the trail. A snowball that picks up everything in its path, picks up the beer can by the side of the road, the cousin's birthday you pretend to forget, a tip left on another table back when you were broke. A snowball that picks up everything in its path, picks up the insult muttered after you thought you hung up, the child forgotten at school, the takeout pizza you eat all by yourself. The snowball that picks up everything in its path, picks up the tempo, the pieces, the paper, the pose, the past, the peril, the pressure, potential, the placement, Velveeta at the grocer's on the way home.
On the first plane, one, the pretzels on the floor from the previous night are not helping anyone's situation. Two, may it be your will that we arrive safely at our destination. Three, luckily, nothing spilled out of the open salad container, so a quinoa-infested backpack was not something we were going to have to worry about. Four, so much turbulence. This pilot is probably in cahoots with our Lyft driver. Five, I'm not sure of the timing for our connecting flight and wonder what the best way is to ask the pilot if he can take surface streets and drop us off in Memphis before heading to the gate in Dallas.
Keen Fitful Gusts by Paul Brucker. What a waste to be born a poet, but not a very good one. To hobble up the hill to sing your life one more time with feeling. Look into the mirror. See the centripetal meaning of every sensuous fact. Now notice all the broken glass you must arrange to be happy. So what if you're enamored of a life that doesn't work?
You can mouth your truths over and over,
until they become cliché. All is truth, beauty, and hurts like hell.
All right, well, we just heard a few spoken word tracks, starting with The Highway is a Breeze, The Forest is a Cave, which is a poem from Jerry Garcia. He's a Southern California poet who has been a frequent contributor to Poetry Superhighway Live. We played a number of spoken word tracks from him in the past. That was followed by a Snowball That Picks from Ellen Sander, who comes to us from Belfast, Maine. She runs the Woodshed Poetry Show there. It's another poetry radio show and is actively looking for spoken word tracks, very similar to what you're hearing today on Poetry Superhighway Live. So look up the Belfast, Maine Woodshed Poetry Hour, or it might be the Poetry Woodshed Hour. It's one of the two, and find out how you can send her tracks. That was followed by me reading a poem live from my new book, Hunka Hunka Howdy. That poem is called On the First Plane, written a few short takes, written while the poem, while the plane was heading between Los Angeles and Dallas before we got to Memphis, Tennessee, our first stop on our trip. And we just heard the poem from Paul Brucker, which was called Keen Fitful Gusts. These are all spoken word tracks I've played before here on Poetry Superhighway Live. The number for you to call in if you'd like to read a poem is 646-716-7362. Our new spoken word track for this week, we try to play a new spoken word track every single month at the half hour mark. We've got a bunch of really great tracks that we've received from a lot of people all over the place. And we play one new one at least, every single month. Many of the ones that you've heard already today are ones that have been played in previous episodes of Poetry Superhighway Live. And then, of course, you're invited to submit your spoken word tracks. More on that after I play the new one from this one this month. This is called Seven Jungles of Bells by Richard Leach, who comes to us from Stamford, Connecticut.
Seven Jungles of Bells. In the first jungle, the bells are made of silences. The bells of this jungle have much to tell and keep it to themselves. In the second jungle, the bells are entangled photons. When we listen to one and hear ding, we know that another one a trillion miles away sounded dong at the very same moment. In the third jungle, the bells are made of gold. When the sun is shining, we marvel at the brightness overhead and hear the tuneless clink of soft metal. In the fourth jungle, the bells are whales who have learned to sing in the air as they swing back and forth with joy. In the fifth jungle, the bells are made of sleep. They ring with dream and rest and nightmare. We smile to hear rest above the din of nightmare and dream. In the sixth jungle, the bells are stars. Red giants, white suns, supernovas, neutron stars, and black holes. They ring out electromagnetic pulses and ripples in space-time. In the seventh jungle, the bells are made of the silences within silence. The bells of this jungle have told all and have nothing more to say.
Was Richard Leach from Stamford, Connecticut, sharing with us his the spoken word track version of his poem, Seven Jungles of Bells, a debut here on Poetry Superhighway Live. I'll tell you a little bit about Richard Leach. He's a poet and visual artist from Stamford, Connecticut. He was a pastor for 21 years, and his sacred poetry, words for hymns and anthems, have been set to music by many composers. He's widely published and sung. He posts secular poetry online at deviantart.com/Richard Leach, that's L-E-A-C-H, and collects it in books that you can find at lulu.com/R-Leach, R-L-E-A-C-H. His poems have appeared online and in print in such publications as Rattle, and online at Tuck Magazines, Better Than Starbucks, and Mobius, a few funly named online magazines. Richard was backed up by the music under that track, Seven Jungles of Bells, which was created by Mark Wade. Mark Wade lives in El Cajon, California, which is in San Diego County, and he works as a construction estimator during the day. His artistic endeavors include music, video creation, photography, traditional painting, and free verse writing. You can find him online at deviantart.com/markus43, vimeo.com/bluemarblamark. I should spell that for you. BlueMarblamark. And soundcloud.com/Markus43, M-A-R-K-U-S, 43. It was a cool collaboration, and I especially love that. I mean, it was a wonderful poem to begin with, but I'm just kind of wondering how the collaboration came about, seeing as how the two artists live in different parts of the country. Do they know each other? Do they just discover each other? Because they're both on DeviantArt, but one piece of art spoke to the other, and Mark Wade created music for Richard Leach's poem, and that's what we just heard, Seven Jungles, Seven Bells. So thank you very much, Richard, for sending that piece in. Really enjoyed it. If you would like to send us a spoken word track, please do. Here's what we're looking for. We're looking for you, the words to your poem performed with some kind of additional element, not just a straight recording of your poem. The open reading portion of our show is open for you to call in and do a straight reading of your poem. So I wouldn't accept anything that's just a straight reading of the poem. I need extra elements of it. What we've heard so far with the different spoken word tracks that we've played are music added to the poems, sound effects, sometimes just rhythm. There is another poem we played recently where traffic sounds became just sort of some background traffic sounds were added to the poem to kind of add to the ambiance of it. And then the other thing that we'll accept or consider for playing on the air, I should say, are poems of you reading in front of a live audience. So in which case the sounds of the audience create that extra element that makes it a spoken word track beyond just a straight reading of the poem. So if you've got something like that recorded, or you want to make something like that, could be a fun exercise for you, send me an MP3 file. Please, if you could export it as an MP3, I'd really appreciate it, to rick@poetrysuperhighway.com. You're more than welcome to submit more than one track, and I'll take a listen, and it's quite possible you will hear your spoken word track during the spoken word segment of Poetry Superhighway Live.
I'll finish with this one, and this also, the title comes from Job, and a lot of the lines in it also come from Job, but I've tried to put them in a different context. And this is called Blackish by Reason of the Ice. I was in the basement. I was in the basement with Sarah, who was reading Job to the baby. I was standing in the basement, thinking about Uncle Kermit's terrible black tie, 100% polyester, which he wore to the funeral last Tuesday. I was in the basement with Sarah, whose eyes were eyes of flesh, whose eyes were like the eyelids of morning, who had made a covenant with mine eyes. And I said to her, Sarah, do you taketh it with your eyes? And she said, what? And I said, do you taketh it with your eyes? And she said, stop being stupid. Can you hold the baby? And I said, I had not been as infants, which never saw light. And she said, sharpening her eyes upon me, take the fucking baby. And I took the baby, and I rocked the baby, and the baby rocked me. And as I comforted my son, and as my son comforted me, I remembered they called Edward Dahlberg the Job of American letters because he suffered in this art. Many there are who work hard and suffer neglect. All Jobs. Sarah, I called. Do you taketh it with your eyes? But she was lost in the text and heard me not. And then, for just a moment, I too felt lost, like a child, like someone who meets with darkness in the daytime and gropes in the midday as in the night. Of course, I knew we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness alone, any more than Uncle Kermit could have worn a different tie to the wake. For life is wind, and death is astonishment. Sarah, I implore, take the baby, for he hath made me weary. And Sarah took the baby with her eyes. Thank you.
See what I mean? There's a spoken word track that was recorded in front of a live audience. No sound effects added, but the ambiance of the room, you could hear people reacting a little bit to some of the things that Bill Yarrow was saying in the poem, and of course the applause at the end created just the extra elements which would allow me to kind of wangle that into my definition of a spoken word track. So if you got a live recording, feel free to send that to me. It doesn't have to be something that's mixed with music, etc. But whatever you got, send it this way to rick@poetrysuperhighway.com, and we'll consider it for a future show. We've got a caller on the line. It's a blocked number. Hello, blocked number.
Hello, Rick. I guess that's me from Birmingham, Alabama. Michael?
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Hey, I didn't expect to get in. I just now called. I got real busy, and next thing I knew, I better call. And I had no idea I'd end up in the queue. I guess it's not a busy day today.
Well, you know, when you do call in, you automatically get in the queue. So that's how it works.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I was the first. I mean, I'm glad I didn't anticipate that. Actually, as soon as I probably wouldn't get on today. Well, look, I'm kind of exhausted in a good way, but because I've been writing up a storm. But I want to remember my mother's celebrating my mother, Virginia Ruth, who was born 5/18/1929. It's not, we only live once, twice, or nine lives. We're born once, and we live forever. How can son be ruthless? Mother was given the middle name, Ruth. Her joy continues to rhythm and rhyme with her boy. I continue on as her strong torch song. Ever notice that the first three letters of S-O-N-G are S-O-N? I could continue on, or you want to get another caller.
That's,
I just had some sports.
That's nice, Michael. You can't have song without sun. It's an interesting perspective on that piece. What a lovely tribute to your mother.
Yeah, those are things that occurred to me in the last 5 years. And all my life, I never realized, hey, the first three words, the first three letters of the word song are the word sun, so there is no song without the sun. And yet, notice the same thing about the word kind. The first three letters of kind are K-I-N, kin. The first three letters of king, K-I-N. Well, anyway, good speaking with you, May.
Yeah, likewise.
Mother's May's always been a double feature, as I put it. It's Mother's Day, then about a week later on the 18th, around there, is my mother's birthday.
That's great. Is your mother still with us?
She would have been 90 years old yesterday, chronologically. Is she still with us? I am with you always.
Of course.
We're created by the Lord. Once the Lord, we're an inspiration of the Lord, and what's inspired by the Lord never expires. We just don't stay here. We don't want to stay here forever. This isn't heaven. This is earth. The only way that we can get on is to, when the Lord calls us. And I discovered the term miracle about 5 years ago. Hospice beds, launching pads for the miracle lift. Okay, you probably got some other callers. Good speaking with you. When's the June program?
June 23rd.
June 23rd. That's close to the 4th. Okay, then. Good speaking with you today. And when we speak, it'll be summertime, summer solstice. Maybe we'll have a summer solstice point.
I look forward to it, Michael. Thank you so much for calling in.
Sure. Talk to you later.
Bye. That was Michael Verger calling from Birmingham, Alabama, a regular here on Poetry Superhighway Live, sharing a lovely poem for his mom, whose birthday is today, would have been 90 years old. And as he kind of indicated at the beginning of the poem, we're born once, but we live forever. And certainly it's the tradition in many philosophies that as long as you are remembered, you are still here. So that's a beautiful way to keep not just the memory of a mother alive, but in a way to keep her still with you. So well done. Interesting thoughts on language and words there. I've never really noticed the word son at the beginning of song or kin in the beginning of kind. And I don't know if those are the official roots of those words or not, but it'd be interesting to find out and to kind of check in and see if those connections exist not merely by coincidence. So there you go. Thank you, Michael, for calling in and reading a poem for us. The next show is going to be June 23rd, which is just it's about 5 weeks away as opposed to our typical 4 weeks away. And the reason for that is June 18th, the week before, is Father's Day. Speaking of Mother's Day this month, and I figure I should keep myself available on Father's Day for whatever may come, being a father myself, just not have to worry about having to rush back and do a show. So I'm pushing the June reading to the following week, just for the sake of being able to allow my son to celebrate me all day on that day. So looking forward to that. And of course, as Michael mentioned, shortly thereafter will be July 4th. I'm not sure exactly sure when the July show will be. Probably the July show actually is going to be towards the end of July. We will be in the middle of our summer poetry contest by then. And typically our July show is not an open reading, but it is our chance to have a conversation with our contest judges. And so this is after the contest has been going for a little while, and we put our contest judges on the air, and we ask them what they're looking for when they are reading your poems. So it's really a great opportunity if you're considering entering the contest to listen to the people who will actually be reading the poems that you are entering. See what they're looking for. By then they'll have seen some of the entries already, and just a great resource for you to consider when putting together your entry. And they might give you a tip and say, oh, well, make sure you don't do this or forget to do this. And it might be something you typically forgot to do or don't typically think about. But either way, that's what we're going to do in July. So that's it. All right. Coming up is another spoken word track, this time from Stephen Mead. 646-716-7362. This is a poem I wrote at the end of our first day in Memphis after visiting Graceland, Elvis Presley's home. This is called The Heavy King. I'd like to sum up my day in words different from the ones you've already read. But my feet have gone out of business, and my head feels like it's going bankrupt, and my stomach is permanently closed, and the light switches on the other side of the room aren't going to turn themselves off. I can tell you this, I met the king today. I know what he did and where he slept. I know where he bought his clothes, and in a sense, I met the man who clothed him. I saw his cars and jumpsuits and would have touched every one if it weren't for the signs. His peanut butter and racquetballs, his ceramic monkeys and airplanes, almost every one of his possessions. Someone else's life is a heavy weight to carry through the day. Good evening, Memphis, and good night. I'll meet your other king tomorrow. That was a poem written at the end of my first night in Memphis, Tennessee, last summer. I think we have that blocked caller back. Hello, blocked caller. Anybody there?
Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, how you doing? Alex
good
from Canada, yeah?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the program, Alex. How's everything going?
Thank you, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Fabulous.
Got a poem for us?
Absolutely. The one that you published last month in the Holocaust, The Scars of a Generation. We were under siege from a wave of intolerance, so searched for safe haven due to our cultural ethnicity, seen by those as a weaker race, protected by no conventions, left to fend for ourselves by ones who put us asunder. The days of war, the trials that ensued, the heartache and tears, lives lost in searing dungeons. A hunted people from an unfounded hatred with the intention of complete annihilation. Instincts unknown until facing this enemy. We as a nationality, a tormented friction. Lines of persecutions, rivers of boiled blood, buried as corpses in holes of forgotten memories. Pockets of resistance, keeping to a silence, unless uncovered due to some betrayal. Hoping beyond hope, this was all a bad nightmare, waking to the reality, the impossibility of an enduring invisibility, like pages in a book, crumpled before their time, lessons learned lasting longer than life. The fear of being caught, the finality this inferred, thrown into these concentration camps whose windows were without panes. The scars of a generation, the remnants and residues, linger and languishing to this day, reminders of a history not to repeat. End poem.
Wonderful, Alex. Thank you very much for calling in and reading that. That was, of course, published as part of our annual Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Day issue, which went live last month. We always put it up in conjunction with Holocaust Remembrance Day, and happy to have included you.
That was fabulous, Rick. Like usual, you impress me, and I'm glad that I'm part of your poetry society that reaches out to everyone around the world and brings us all into one close-knit circle, if that's a good metaphor.
It is, everywhere around the world, even Canada.
Even Canada. Even the other day, they finally got it right that a year ago, Trump put those silly tariffs of 10% on aluminum and 25% on steel just to try to create a crisis. And then magically on Friday, he solved it by saying, oh, we're done with that. We don't no longer need that, even though he didn't need it a year ago because Canada's our greatest ally that we've ever had in the whole wide world. Canada's our number one friend because not only on our northern doorstep, but they're always there with us through thick and thin. There you go.
Yep, I agree. Next door neighbors. No need for fences or tariffs, as far as I'm concerned, on any side of the country.
Not at all, my friend. Not at all.
All right, well, Alex, anything else going on in your part of the world you want to mention in poetry?
Well, with Frontier Poetry, I entered a chapbook competition. I put together 30 poems into a short chapbook, so hopefully it does well.
Well, good luck to you. Let us know next time we have a show, and we'll find out how you did.
Absolutely, Rick. I'll do that.
Okay. Well, Alex, thanks as always for calling in, and stay warm up there.
Yeah, no, it's spring here, Rick. A lot of rain this weekend, but it's spring.
I don't think Southern California has quite caught on to the spring thing yet. It's been cold and rainy, and it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon.
I hear you.
All right. Well, you have a good one, and thanks for calling.
Take care, Rick. Thanks, as usual, for letting me on. Take care.
My pleasure. That was Alex from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, just the northern side of the border. a regular here on Poetry Superhighway Live. Always glad to have him. Thanks so much for calling in. I think I have one more blocked number. Let's caller. Let's see who this is. Hello, blocked number. Anybody there? And they're gone. Okay. Well, that's probably about all the time we have here on Poetry Superhighway Live. I want to thank Alex and Michael for being our live callers today. Alex from Canada, who just finished, as well as Michael from Birmingham, Alabama. I want to thank all the folks who sent in spoken word tracks, including Angele Ellis, Daniel Thomas, Jerry Garcia, Ellen Sander, Paul Brucker, Richard Leach, Bill Yarrow, and Stephen Mead. We've got a ton of spoken word tracks, so we always it was nice to have the room to play a bunch of those during a particular show. Our next show, as mentioned earlier, will be on Sunday, June 23rd at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. You do the time zone math to figure out when that is in your world. It'll be an open reading, just like today's show. Anyone will be welcome to call in, and we'll play at least one spoken word track, if not more. So put that on your calendar and plan on calling in. As mentioned earlier, we're looking for sponsors for our annual Summer Poetry Contest. All you have to do is sign up on our website to join in. You can be a sponsor with as little as one single prize. But if you can donate more, that's great. All of the prizes that you donate go directly to our contest entrants to help satisfy our goal of giving every single person who enters the contest a prize just for entering. We've been able to do that every year. This is the 22nd year of the contest, I think. So that's a pretty good record of having done that. As well, you can enter the contest, and the people who enter the contest, you have the chance of winning. If you win the contest, in addition to getting a prize just for entering, you could win. And if you're one of the top three scoring poets, you'll win a big chunk of money, which comes straight from the entry fees that are taken in. But more importantly, right now, we're looking for sponsors, so would love to get you in as a sponsor. Fill out the form on the website at poetrysuperhighway.com. Let me know if you have any questions on it. All the details are there. You will get a free classified ad in our weekly newsletter, as well as on our website just for entering, as well as a permanent listing as sponsor of the contest. poetrysuperhighway.com/PSH is the place you find out all the info about that. Hope you'll have the chance to join me this Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. On Facebook Live. It'll be a live video broadcast. You'll see my face. You'll see me live reading poetry from my new book, Hunka Hunka Howdy, all poems written in Memphis, Nashville, and Louisville this last summer. This book just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's already the number one best-selling book in Louisville, Kentucky travel books. So that's pretty good for a poetry collection, I think. So check it out online. I'll be joined with some friends. We'll be playing some music. Abby Strauss from Memphis, Tennessee will be singing a song. Ellie Flyer from Nashville, Tennessee will be singing a song. And Cecilia Walla, poet extraordinaire who is from Kentucky, will be sharing a poem as well to help me with some extra elements of songs and poems from the cities that I got to travel to last summer. Check out my new book, Hunk Hunka Howdy, on Amazon or on my website where you can see some more poems from it. And join me this Thursday at 4 p.m. for the live publication party on Facebook Live. Again, our next show is Sunday, June 23rd. I hope you join us. Get on our email list. If you're not on it already, go to poetrysuperhighway.com/PSH, and there you will have the chance to enter your email. We send out a newsletter every month, so you get all the info about all the stuff that we do. All the info on how to submit poetry to us, etc., is there. So check it out. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and have a great rest of your day. Bye.